Slacker Podcast. Phil Tiger. Slacker Podcast. Slacker Podcast. Hello, Slackers. I hope your eggs are perfectly fried and your Pokemon are currently evolving. My name is Phil Taggart, and this is my podcast. It is called The Slacker Podcast. I'm just out of the dentist right now. I think my mouth is still slightly numb, so if I start dribbling on the microphone, you know exactly why that is. The Slacker Podcast, right, every week on it we have a new musical guest sharing with us a very primitive demo of their musical output. Normally, with most artists, it's the bit where they were a little bit shit and then they get better as time goes on. But with some of the artists, it's pretty good from the very, very start. And then after that, we chat absolute nonsense for an extended length of time. Lots of love to everyone who came to the live Slacker gig I put on at the Atlantic Sessions on the north coast of Northern Ireland at the weekend. It was rammed and the bands were all sick. All twins. Brand New Friend, Susie Blue, Son of the Hound. I bow in your infinite talent. Thank you so much for coming and playing. Thank you very much to George as well. He came up to me while I was DJing 2-3 times. I can't even remember by the end. He bought me shots of Buckfast. If you don't know what Buckfast is, then you're probably better off for it. To the plus 18 who listened to the podcast, who've had Buckfast, that stuff will ruin you. I didn't leave my hotel room the next day because I had the world's most skillful hangover, and the mad fear as well. We have reached the 9th podcast, which means there are only 7 of these left in series 1. And to be fair, when I kicked it off, I wasn't even sure if we were going to do a series 2. But by the reaction that I've been getting from the podcast, it's kind of taken on a life of its own. So thanks to everybody who's been listening to it. And yeah, I will be doing a series 2 at the start of next year. Drop a little rate and review of the podcast if you're feeling sound as fuck right now. I would absolutely love that because it helps me out and it just helps get more eyes and ears on the podcast. I'm looking at the new Dodie fans as well, the ones who are listening to the podcast for the very first time. If you want to support it and support Dodie and me and the podcast by giving it a little review. Also, follow me at Philly Taggart on Instagram and Twitter and maybe suggest some guests to get on the podcast for maybe series 2 as well. Anyway, I've already let the cat out of the bag. Normally I like to sort of keep it all hush-hush about who we've got on this week, but you all know already. It is Dodie. She is an artist I came across a little while ago while I was working for a company called Vivo. They brought her down to play their stage at the Great Escape, and Dodie brought her ukulele down with her, and I thought she was absolutely brilliant. She's a great songwriter. And, you know, in terms of just being an artist and the connection that she has with her fans on social media, on YouTube, she is an absolute don. And she has more followers than there are people in Northern Ireland's population. Just let that sink in for a little minute. We talked about a load of different things, and here's a taste of what they were.
I personally, like me as a human being, don't want to be a role model because I'm a human. I make mistakes. I fuck up. But I can try and promote outwardly being a good role model and promote my principles. So I kind of have like this weird shell now of like online / social media / sharing. And I think that's healthy. It's like a boundary. It's a wall. My life goal like is definitely to write a musical and star in it.
Oh, God, yeah.
Or at least just be in it, like a little cameo or something. I didn't really understand fame or like how people who I thought were famous were actually real. I didn't really comprehend it in my head.
Also, can I state just before we get into this, if I have mixed up any YouTuber names on this episode or got something slightly wrong, it's not because I've purposely tried to do so. It's just because I'm incredibly stupid. Okay, just before I get Dodie's fans coming on and at me on Twitter and Instagram because I've got other YouTubers wrong, please just save yourself the time and save me the time as well. Okay, right, enough slabbering for me. I just want to do one more thing before we get to the podcast because this week's Slacker Podcast is sponsored by The Economist. The Economist magazine is something I kind of associated with pinstriped city men and women, you know, those sort of people who'd be dialing through to see how their stocks are doing at the moment. They'd be talking about NASDAQ. They'd be talking about Dow Jones. Buy low, sell high. Graphs, stock indexes. That is legitimately all of the words in business that I know. That's how pretty shit I am at it. But honestly, that's what I thought it was. And since they've reached out and I've been using the subscription that they've sent me, I've realized I've completely got the wrong end of the stick. I mean, this evening when I was getting the train back from London to Brighton, I was like passing the time. And I've been writing a book at the minute, but my head was a little bit fried. So I was like, I need to read something that isn't anything to do with the book that I'm writing. And I got onto The Economist and I was reading an article of all things about Britney Spears' single, Hit Me Baby One More Time, a song I absolutely despised when it came out, but still was fascinated enough to like read a little bit about it because my sister was obsessed with it. But it was undeniably massive, selling over 10 million worldwide. And what I found out from reading that article was that that song was actually offered to Robin, who you might know from releasing an album a couple of weeks ago. It was very recently anyway. And TLC. And I can't hear Robin singing that song, and I can't hear TLC. I can only hear Britney singing that song. Anyway, kind of blew my mind that you could read about that sort of stuff in The Economist. So if you want a free copy of The Economist, just text Slacker to 78070. That is text Slacker to 78070, and you'll get a free copy of The Economist. Okay, here we go. The Slacker Podcast with Dodie. 3, 2, 1, go. Ladies and gentlemen, people in the cheap seats, we give you Dodie.
Hello.
How's it going?
Good. Yeah, it's good.
We were just talking about the level of demoage that you've got in your phone.
Yeah, so many. I went through all of my voice memos last night and also some from like my MacBook, like the little photo booth things. Because sometimes I'm just playing like on my uke or keys or whatever. And I'm like, oh, this is good. And then I just try and capture it wherever I am on a voice memo or whatever. And then I just forget about it because I'm silly. And I just went through all of them. I was like, whoa, thanks, pass me. Like a ghost of myself.
Are you not like scared of looking a little bit mental when you're like humming into your phone?
Oh yeah, I do like, that all the time.
I'm mad for WhatsApp messages.
Uh-huh.
I can't be bothered typing.
Uh-huh.
So I'll just like hit record, yeah. And I'll be sitting in the queue. Like earlier I was in the queue for Boots and uh-huh. I was like messaging my missus. I was like, oh God, do this and other blah, 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 blah. And yeah, people must think you're mental.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. But I don't know. I'll have like a little worm in my ear of whatever it is. I don't know. You know, like a little idea, a little snack.
I'm Jiminy like, Cricket.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm like, oh, if I don't get this now, I'll never remember it. And it's so tough. I watched a TED Talk once on like creativity and how it kind of like finds you. Like it's like floating by and then you'll walk into it and then you're like, oh no. Like, and then you have to like capture it and then it will leave again. And yeah, the moments that has happened, something has been birthed from it. And then sometimes I just lose it.
I don't write songs, but I try. Like I do a lot of different things that I need. Like I run a label and stuff, and I have to come up with ideas for this, that, and the other. Anytime I ever sit down to try and come up with an idea, it never works. It's always in the shower, in bed, or traveling about, looking out a window, and then like you're like boom.
So true. All the times I've like sat down to write, I'm like, okay, let me write. Like if you eventually force yourself, you will get there. But I'd like the other day I sat down and I was like, I've got it. Like, I've got an idea. And I wrote a song in half a day, which I haven't done in so long. And it was amazing to be like, wow, I can still do that. I thought that was dead. I don't know. Sometimes you're like, well, that's it. I'm done. I've done the best that I can in my life. And my songwriting career is over. And I will never write an easy song again. And then it will come to you. And you're
like, isn't that like the epitome of a good song? One that just lands on your plate?
I think so.
Even know where you wrote the lyrics of it or where it came from. But it just appears there.
A line will literally just pop in your head and come out. It's like bleh, you like vomit it out.
I'm very excited to play this demo.
Oh gosh,
because I asked your manager Josh and I was like, listen Josh, I want like a really early demo, because some artists that we have in the podcast can be a little bit, they don't want to completely put themselves out there. We'll get a demo that's like a little bit too shiny, and I'm just like, right, I push as hard as possible going like the shitter, the quality, the better. Not the song, but like, you know.
This is the first, I think, recording of an original song that I have. I definitely remember past original songs that I can even sing now. like little verses that I wrote when I was a teenager. But to be honest, like my first demo, the one to show you, like I love that I was 14 when I wrote it.
Yeah.
And it's called Rain. Like it's literally the most it's the most teenagery title and topic for a song. It's perfect.
Let's stick it on and have a little listen to it, and it's kind of, I'm not going to pick it apart. It feels really mean picking, like,
I will.
You so can bad. You can. I'm not going to sit and pick some, like, the first song you ever written. Well, I wouldn't have done that, and I would have put the chorus in. But yeah, we're gonna hear a little blast of it now.
Have you heard it?
I listened to a little bit of it, but I like to hear it for the first time properly.
Hard to control myself. I just wanna scream out loud and show the crowd I'm so angry.
This was like Paramore central. Yeah. I was
while
listening
it's raining,
to so much
I can cry because no one will know if their tears
I just
are
wanted
the
to. Oh, Jesus, that line. Blech. I remember thinking of that and being like, genius.
Is that you playing the piano as well?
Yes.
Pretty proficient on the piano.
I literally am just playing chords. I literally just recorded it on my keyboard and then pressed play.
Never hear infuriating in a song that often, do you?
I didn't even think of that. I remember trying to belt that line out. I'm like shouting. I haven't found my voice yet.
I don't know, like you're singing it and your piano playing is pretty decent, like.
I can kick, I can scream, I can shout. Let it rain
on. Rain harder. This chorus is good, like this is a good chorus.
It's so emo.
It is so emo, but like good emo.
Thanks. And then I tried to make middle-aged, like, you know, the skies are clearing.
Why do people complain?
Little tinkly bit.
There's nothing wrong with the rain. It washes everything away. Clearing my mind. I'm no longer blind.
It's very musical theatre.
I can see.
Yeah, I could see you on the West End.
That's what I wanted more than anything.
Hamilton.
Oh man, just any stage, any musical.
I'm gonna come back to that.
Oh please. Don't try. Just stick to what you can.
Did you ever play this live?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do you still play it live? Would
no.
you ever? Would you ever?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Just for fun, to bring it back. Little creepy corner at the end. Little arpeggio.
Let's give Past Dodie a round of applause, shall we? Well done. How old were you when you recorded that?
I think I was like... 16? Yeah, 16. I wrote it, I say 14, I think I might have been like 15. I don't know. It was some music class.
You were a kid, anyway.
Yeah.
I think, you know the way when you get diluting juice, you can't drink diluting juice by itself. You have to put water in with
squash.
It, right? Yeah,
yeah,
squash, right? That is like the diluted version of being a teenager without the water of adulthood put in on top of it.
So true. It's just like angst.
Yeah.
Angst is a drink.
I think people sort of sometimes kind of forget, like, especially when you get older, how shit being a teenager actually is. Because you look back at being a teenager when you're older going, oh, those were the days I didn't really have to think about anything. I didn't have to think about work. I didn't have to think about that. All I do is turn up to school. And you're like going, actually, your hormones...
God.
Everything is all over the show and you can barely even begin to like describe it to somebody.
Yeah, like I feel a lot now, and then at that time everything was just like turned up to heck. Oh my gosh, I was just feeling all the time, and I was so angry. I was so pissed off at everything.
What were you pissed off about? Can you remember what you wrote that song about?
Just parents. I don't know, like being told off, and like I think I was grounded at that time because I went over my phone bill because I was talking to a boy.
Dun, dun, dun.
I think I went £50 over my phone bill.
Shit,
I know, it was really bad.
50 quid. Where did he live? Brazil?
No, we just spent hours and hours and hours on the phone. I didn't know anything about my contract or anything. My dad was just in control of it.
Yeah.
So he was like, also I don't think he really liked the boy I was talking to, so he like,
of course he didn't, he was charging the cost of 50 quid.
So he was like, you're grounded. Also, I was doing my GCSEs at the time.
Yeah.
So my dad was just like, right, that's it, you're grounded for like the whole of summer. And I was like, no!
Just after doing your GCSEs, that is...
Before doing my GCSEs, because I had to revise. So it was like kind of like grounded because of a punishment slash you have to revise anyway.
You weren't going out anyway, so it's fine.
I don't know, but I wanted to. My friends would be like, like make a healthy balance, like revise and then go out. And I'm like, you don't understand, I'm not allowed! I'm so angry! Oh God, sorry, that's peaking.
When I was a kid, like when I was a teenager, I used to sit and chat like with my girlfriend at the time on the phone for like 2-3 hours a night. And I have no idea what the hell we talked about. I think the phone would just be there and you'd be watching TV and you'd be like, what's your mom doing now?
Oh my God.
And my dad just walked in the room.
Like, what do you have to talk about?
What a loser. Yeah. Oh God, mom told me to get off the phone. That's so her.
Yeah, I don't even know.
Yeah, no, I think I've got like a grasp. There we go. We almost got there. It's been a long day for me today. I also had like a head injury about 2 or 3 days ago, and I'm sporting a very big black eye at the moment. So
it's not that bad.
It's pretty bad.
It's not that bad.
We are recording this on Halloween day,
so he's 31st
of October. So I'm just telling people I've painted this on because
I
want
it looks cool.
I want to look like a bruiser. You're dressed like proper Halloween.
I know.
As well.
I dressed so special for the occasion.
So like I don't really know what to like. Obviously, I call you Dodie, but Dodie's not your real name. Is it or is it your real name?
Everyone has always called me Dodie.
Ever since when?
So I was born, like, whatever. But, like, aside from one time, so my full name is Dorothy. Mm-hmm. But, like, I was only ever called that, you know, when you're told off or whatever.
Dorothy Clark, get down these stairs right now. You've been chatting to boys.
It's basically sound like my parents were really straight. They weren't that strict. Yeah. But, so the only time I was called Dorothy was when I moved to Bath for, like, 6 months. And I was so sick of introducing myself as Dodie because no one understands it when they don't know you. Like, you say Dodie and they're like, Jody. You're like, Dodie. They're like,
Jody.
What? I'm like,
Bodie.
Dodie with a D. Jodie. I'm like, no! So I was like, that's it. I remember the person asking me, they were like, what's your name? And I was like, Dorothy.
Ken.
Bob.
Yeah.
So I was Dorothy for like 6 months and everyone knew me as Dorothy. Which
was that
really
when you
cool.
Was that when you went to uni?
No, I didn't go to uni. I just moved away from home because I don't know. I was, it was a mess. It was the worst 6 months of my life.
Yeah.
I like developed depression and it was just not
sometimes
fun.
Getting away from it. You try to get away from it and then ideas like developed, you get back.
Yeah. I was confused because school had ended. I didn't know what I was doing with my life. I was also in a not very healthy relationship and he was in Bath. So I was like, I guess I'll move away because that's what people do when they finish school. So I moved like across the country, had no friends. It was winter. I was in a bad relationship.
Oh my God, this sucks.
And there was like some family shit going down and basically developed depression and it was horrible.
Do you know what? That's a Molotov cocktail for sadness right
the
there.
The petri dish of mental illness. It was so bad.
But
and then,
I see from your videos, you've bested it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, what else can you do? I've like, it's so interesting. I never thought I'd be the kind of person to ever have mental health issues because I was the happiest, aside from that song. I was like angry, but like I didn't really know what mental health issues were.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, you can just, you know, go outside and eat a lollipop and you'll feel so much better. I'll never have mental illness. And then when it happened to me and that door opened, it was like discovering a whole new world. I didn't know that this was life. I don't know. It taught me so much.
It's like opening the door to another dimension.
Yeah.
That you didn't even know existed.
I'm
I didn't know
my brain could do this.
I've had like anxiety and panic attacks since I was like 18.
Oh,
I think I got my first one just around my first A level. Mm. And then it comes and goes in little waves and it still comes and goes to a certain degree. But like, it's one of those things that you probably with some people doesn't go away. Like with me, it doesn't really go away, but you learn how to deal with it.
Yeah, for sure.
And then when it comes on, it's not a big scary thing anymore.
Yeah.
It used to be the fucking monster at the end of your bed, and now you see it and you're just like, oh, get out of my way.
Again. Yeah, you learn to kind of recognize it. And I think that's so helpful because when you first have it and you're first like carrying this stuff around with you, you're like, this is the biggest thing in the world and I will never, ever be able to live with this or overcome it. And then,
or I'm never going to get better is the main thing, especially when you feel low. You're like, this is never going to change. And it does. It always does.
And people say you don't really get over it. You learn to live with it. That sounds terrible because you're like, well, I don't want to live like that. But then you kind of learn, like, I don't know. It's not as scary as you think to be like, you learn to live with it. It's more like you learn to live alongside it. And it's, you know, there are I try and say that there are benefits from having it. Like, I've got a tattooed quote that says a bit of madness is key. And I think that can come across as glorifying it sometimes. Like, people are like, don't fucking, you know, put this special magical trait on depression. I'm like, well, you fucking have to. Otherwise, you're going to go mad.
And also, like, somebody can't tell you how you deal with you. Like,
damn right.
Do you know what I mean?
Damn right. But
it's the same. Like, I've had generalized anxiety and all the rest of it. Like, there are lots of bad things with it, but at the same time, I spend a lot of like nights like thinking stuff, and I have like the good thoughts, so I come up with ideas for like this podcast or book or like starting a record label, and I overthink things to a certain degree where it's actually beneficial for me. So I overthink to a point where I'm like going, actually, this is exactly what I want to do. Boom, 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 boom.
You have to find the benefits, otherwise it's just going to eat you alive.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. I want to go back to your first musical love.
Oh, yeah, sorry, like, we went deep down the
middle. This is my shit. Like, I like talking.
Oh, me too. I love talking about it.
I like talking about this stuff because when I hear other people talk about it, it makes me feel better. It makes me feel less mental.
So true. It can feel so big in your brain. And then you talk about it with someone else, you're like, oh my gosh.
I didn't speak to anybody about it for 3 years. I thought I was losing my head. Like, I thought I was going like schizophrenic. Yeah. I'd like diagnose myself with about 6 different things.
Oh, damn.
And it just turned out like I've just had anxiety all the time. And this is when I was like 18. And when I was 18, nobody talked about it. It was like the olden days.
That sucks. Yeah, I think it's definitely more like talked about now, thankfully.
Your first musical love, what was it?
Oh my god. I was such a musical fan, still am. I loved Wicked, I loved Chicago, I loved West Side Story, I loved the producers. What else did I love?
So like you grew up in and around London, so you've kind of had access to all of those like big shows.
My like family nights out or like birthdays, I'd be taken to see a musical, and I would
amazing
or like a show of some kind. And sometimes they'd put like they'd like do confetti from the ceiling, and I'd collect them and like keep them with me and be like, this night was amazing.
I will remember this confetti for the rest of my life. And you see it in a couple of years' time, you're like, oh, what the fuck is that? Get in the bin.
Well, I did actually have like a box of memories that I burned ceremonially. I don't know. It was like a mark of, I don't know. I'm very dramatic.
You're dressed like a witch at the minute as well. You're talking about burning things ceremoniously. Like, this better go the right way, or otherwise I'm getting a hex put on me by the end of the podcast.
I'll put a spell on you.
But like, can you see yourself? Like, would you like to like get up and do?
It is all I've ever wanted.
Surely, where you're at in your career right now, that like you could.
Yeah, my life goal is definitely to write a musical and star in it.
Oh god, yeah.
Or at least just be in it, like a little cameo or something. But I definitely want to be in it. I don't know, when I was younger it was all I wanted to do. I definitely wanted to be on the West End, and my plan was to go to drama school. And then when I ended school, obviously I had like different people telling me to do academic things, and I didn't know what I was doing, so I took a quote gap year.
What would your academic thing have been if you had gone down that route?
I don't know. I just don't know. I didn't know what the fuck to do, because everyone was like, you must go to uni and
you
get
a degree.
You
have to do this. If you
otherwise
don't get your A-levels, you will die.
Yeah, right? Like, my mom was like, you'll be in a cardboard box or whatever. Yeah. And I was like, just no one really knew what they were talking about. No one really knew what a degree was. And like, some people were saying like, you'll never use your degree. And some people were saying, if you don't get a degree, then you'll never work ever and you'll be poor your whole life. And like, my family was kind of like poor growing up, so I was like, oh, shit, I can't make the same mistakes. So then I just panicked and didn't do anything and did YouTube on the side. And thankfully,
It didn't work out for you. It didn't work out. Just 5 subscribers, your mom, your dad.
In a cardboard box.
A couple of fake profiles that you set up.
Yeah.
To boost it. Yeah. But like, honestly,
I mean, that happened at first.
You had like a YouTube channel at the very beginning before the one that you've got now, didn't you?
Oh,
Daughters
God.
5.
Oh, we haven't talked about that. Oh God, that could be my first demo. I've got a song of me and my best friend at the time singing a song. Oh jeez. Oh no.
Because I did some research and I was like, right, I've got to go back watch some videos.
That
I've got to read all the interviews and stuff. Well, that's what I do. Like, I've got to do some research, and Like, it looked like everything was shot on like the world's worst or first flip camera phone.
Yeah, it was a Sony Ericsson like little brick phone. Yeah. But it was really cool. Like, me and my best friend would just film. I'd film everything all the time anyway, mm-hmm. but obviously I just didn't put it online. I just carried around a little pocket camera and filmed everything because I was obsessed with life. I just loved like recording my favorite days and then watching them back in bed, which is kind of funny because I guess it's what I still do now.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, at that time, Dodders 5 was just a joke account. I remember uploading a video of me and my best friend and like us giggling and just doing silly shit. And I put it online and I was like staring at the screen. Like, it was like seeing myself on TV. I was like, whoa,
I'm there.
I live on this website. And like the slogan at the time was like, broadcast yourself. And I was like, I can do that. And I did it. And yeah. then like, obviously no one ever
but
saw
that's,
it.
That's really common. Like me and my sister used to put on like our now 65 or now a million uh-huh. and five or whatever number it was. We used to put that on, get the like the old school camera.
Yes.
On a tripod.
Yes, that's what
and we
and
used to
used
dance
to
and lip sync to it. Yes. But like, thank the Lord, this was pre-YouTube.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't live with them videos being up now.
Yeah.
Surely like, is there ever a part of you is going, maybe I'll just delete that? Because I don't know, I would be like,
yeah.
Oh God.
I'm
so painful. Like there's videos of me breakdancing when I was like,
the world has
14.
To see that. I hope.
Can't.
But don't you, I don't know, I think it's kind of charming in a way. I think
that's just for me.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. I don't know.
But like, you've like grown up on sort of broadcasting yourself really, mm-hmm. like what, 10 years now of, YouTube.
God. Wait, no.
It'd be nine, right?
Yeah, maybe like eight. I'd say 8 years of YouTube.
And so like you're very like, you were doing what people are doing now. What people are doing a lot now before anybody else really was.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think the only person that, when I was thinking about this the other day, I was like, the only other person I can remember that really embraced YouTube at that age and like really kicked off was the Bieber thing.
Oh yeah, I mean, I don't really know his story because, to my knowledge, it was just him, like someone filmed him on a phone or something.
It was him singing, and then like Usher saw him, and then it sort of kicked off from there. But that was around about the same time, because like you two are about the same age,
really?
as well. This is it. When you go down the wormhole of researching and stuff, mm-hmm. I was like, okay, and the year was 1974. It was a dark night.
Putting
yourself out there, at what point did you start like going, I'm going to take this really seriously, the production standard's going to get really good, I'm going to like, I'm going to put my music out there? Because it's not the way a lot of people go about releasing music. Most people just ham it up anywhere mm-hmm. online and hope for the best.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was a fan of YouTube, like YouTubers. And I was like, well, what can I do? I don't know.
Who were the originals? Like, who were the people
you
were
fans of? Oh, I used to watch, Shane Dawson is still around. He does like these like weird, documentary style videos now. It's really interesting watching everyone kind of like up their production level. I think it's kind of like TV develop, but like, because it started with just everyone in their room. I used to watch Shane Dawson. I used to watch the Fine Bros, who are still around again. I used to watch a YouTuber called Charlie. Charlie is so cool. Like, he was actually the guy who inspired me to start playing ukulele, which is so weird because so many people are like, you are the person who inspired me to start ukulele, and I'm like, it wasn't me. Like, I'm not original. I was just copying someone else.
Yeah, I mean, but that's how it works. Like,
yeah.
Everybody copies somebody else and puts their own spin on it,
uh-huh.
and that inspires somebody else. I'd say you've probably sold thousands of ukuleles and not even knowing it.
Isn't that weird? That's so weird.
People will be like, okay, I want a ukulele now.
My
missus's dad made me a ukulele, and I learned how to play George Formby when I'm cleaning windows
when
on
I'm
it.
Yeah, I don't know if I could play that off the top of my head. Probably
so, is like piano your first love then? Because obviously the demo that we heard was was on the piano.
Yeah, which is weird because I'm not actually that good at it. But yes, I got given a school keyboard to like practice on. I don't really know why. And it was.
Did you just steal it from the school?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. They never asked for it back.
I was given it.
It's mine now.
I'm wanted.
I would like play different notes and like realize which one sounded best. So like I learned harmony by like playing like G, C, and E, which is like a C major chord, and like da 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 sounded like chitty bang bang, and then like chitty bang, which is a fourth, and then chitty bang bang is a major third, and then like chitty bang bang, chitty bang bang is a minor third. So then I didn't have the language for it yet, but I like learned harmony and like learned chords just like playing a keyboard. And then obviously all the notes are in front of you. You can just see what you're playing.
So yeah, yeah.
It was, yeah, helpful.
And then you were like, right, I'm going to put this up. I'm going to share it with the world. And mm-hmm. and when did it start like kicking off? I mean, like, did you have to put loads of videos up? Like, did you have to like really try?
Honestly, yeah, I was stuck on about 67 subscribers for maybe like a year. I had like one fan who knew, like literally one fan. I think their name was Carlton Johnson. I remember that. Mm-hmm. And they're still around, which is wild.
Yeah.
I need to find them again. And like, yeah, I just like upload willy-nilly and like no one would ever watch. And then I entered a competition from these bigger YouTubers called Rhett and Link, who now have their own show. Like, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. And their competition was to cover a song. And if you won, then you'd win like a poster that was in their video. And I was like, whoa, Hedy. Which was my little sister.
Yeah.
My little sister. I was like, I know, I'll steal her, get the cute factor in. And also, I'll do some harmony.
Come here, you.
Literally,
you're younger
I was like,
than
come
me.
On, I need you. Yeah. Use your cuteness. And also, I tried adding lots of harmony because I wanted to impress them.
So was your sister singing in it as well?
Mm-hmm.
And is your sister a musician too? Or
oh,
like...
yeah. She's all grown up now and she sings. Like, her voice is like way better than mine. Way better than mine.
And she got her own channel too?
She does. She doesn't really post that much. She doesn't really care much for YouTube. She's an artist. She draws. Oh, she's just so talented. It's so weird to see.
What is going on with your family?
Like, I don't know.
Seriously creative family?
Well, I mean, Hedy in particular is like, she's just insanely talented. She's actually going to be designing some stuff for me later, which is just really handy. But yeah, like, she writes songs as well, which is, it's weird because she's
not... Get your dad to drive the tour bus.
Oh, gosh. No, that would be all a disaster. But yeah, wait, what was I saying? Oh, yeah, so like, so we covered this song and they shouted us out on their channel, which sent over about maybe like 400 people or 600 people.
Wow, right, okay.
And I was like, oh my God, I do it. Like,
I'm
famous. I know. I was literally like, yeah. I've broken the line of fame, which it felt like a big line in my head that uh-huh. I would never, ever push through to. And the fact that I, like, they said my name in a video, I was like, what? And it kind of, like, shifted my world again. It was like, what is this? Like, I didn't really understand fame or, like, how people who I thought were famous were actually real. I didn't really comprehend it in my head.
Yeah, I always felt like when I was younger that famous people were kind of like aliens.
Yeah.
That they weren't one of us. That mm-hmm. they were like almost like in Lord of the Rings. They're like
bred. They're like characters. They honestly lived in the same place in my brain as like characters on shows and
TV
stuff.
Shows and stuff.
Yeah.
So like you were probably closer to the people that are fans of you now. Like, you know, like sort of like the people who watch you going, how the hell do I do that?
Yeah.
And then it kind of like, did it slowly happen or did it fast? Did it happen fast?
So there was that video and then I wrote a song about the YouTuber that I watched called Charlie. It was basically a love song. It was so embarrassing, but bless him. His mum found it and was like...
His mum found a love song that you'd written about him? Yeah. Jesus, what did she say?
She was like...
Get away from my boy.
No, she was like, I will show Charlie this. And she did. And I bet she was like, go on, Charlie. Like, please comment something nice. Like, she's clearly such... He's a big fan. And he was like, all right, Mom. I don't even know if that's how it happened, but it kind of felt like it. So he was like, hey, because the song was all about fame and it was like, you'll never remember me. It was so cheesy. Oh, my God. And he was like, I'll definitely remember you now. I think he was just trying to make me feel better.
Yeah.
And back in the day on YouTube, when a YouTuber commented on your video, it would like pop in their subscribers feeds.
Sure.
So I remember just my like comments going boo, 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 boo. Like if they were just arriving, I was like, oh my god, I feel so famous. It was wild. I was just refreshing my page the whole night. I was just screaming around my house. I got up to 1,000 and I was like, this is it. And then once you have like that little base, I just kept posting, kept talking to my audience, and like they were kind of living it with me because I was like, uh-huh. This is crazy, you're all here.
Yeah,
and they were like, we know, this is crazy.
So when the numbers go up to like 5,000, 10,000, mm-hmm. 100,000, it's like because they're the fan base that were there at the very beginning, they're living that life with you.
Mm.
But that's what YouTubers is all about, mm-hmm. is about you living somebody else's life with them and taking in the parts of that. And that's why like I find when I watch YouTube videos, that it's refreshing to see how people are so open with mm-hmm. everything, the shit bits, the mm-hmm. good bits, all the rest of it.
Yes.
You don't really get that anywhere else.
Yeah. I have since learned, like being online for so long, well, it feels like a long time, not as long as most people, but, or some people. Anyway, I have learned boundaries. I think there was a time when I thought it was best to be as honest and as open as possible about everything.
Yeah,
and if you weren't, then you were not being authentic, which is like a really judgy way to look at it. And then I, back to mental health, developed mental health issues, and my truth kind of got skewed, and I didn't really know what I was saying or what was right, what was wrong.
Were you posting videos like during your depression?
Yeah, and I was talking about it as well, which on one hand I think is kind of cool and helpful because you got to see where I was like in action, like that bad, and it's interesting, and obviously again people can relate and like people feel not alone, but also not the most, when you're depressed the literal number one symptom is hopelessness, and I was like despairing and like saying all this shit that I shouldn't have said online. I remember like I posted on Snapchat being like, I just don't, like, what is the point? I'm so sad at all, every day. I haven't had a good day once. My friend Zana messaged me and was like, what are you doing? You have, like, young girls watching you. Like, your sister watches your stories. What are you doing? And I was like, oh, shit. Well, at first I was like, fuck you, you don't understand, I'm so depressed. And then I was like, oh, shit, yeah.
That's the problem about giving every second bit of yourself to online. Like, you kind of forget that, especially if you're coming up a very organic way, you kind of forget that you're a role model then.
Yeah.
And then once you sort of realize that, I'd say that's when the boundaries kind of kicked in, right?
It's tough. I don't want to... I personally, like me as a human being, don't want to be a role model because I'm a human. I make mistakes. I fuck up. But I can try and promote outwardly being a good role model and promote my principles. So I kind of have like this weird shell now of like online / social media / sharing, and I think that's healthy. It's like a boundary, it's a wall, and I think that's good. And though it is kind of sad that I'll never be completely open, I recognize that that was actually kind of unhealthy, and this is much better.
Congratulations, you have made it halfway through the Slacker podcast. Slap yourself on the back. Don't slap yourself too hard. You don't want to fall out with yourself and start giving yourself black eyes. If you've been enjoying the podcast in particular, then maybe you would like to go back and listen to the Wolf Alice podcast. Maybe you would like to listen to the Declan McKenna podcast. They are the ones that I would suggest for the Doty fans who have just come on and listened to this one as their first one. Both of them were pretty fun. And also, look, normally at the halfway point, I like to tell you what I'm up to. Flog some merch, flog some tickets, see what's going. And this week, all I want to say is, if you want to hear me on the radio playing records, then you should go and listen to my show on the BBC. I do a show on BBC Radio 1 called The Chillest Show, which is all sort of beatless and weightless and beautifully sculpted because we spend so much time on it every week. Just really, really mellow records. And that's on a Sunday at 7 p.m. Or you can go on to the Hype Chart, which is like 60 minutes of me screaming about the best new music about, and you can get them on a brand new app, which is called BBC Sounds. Okay, right, swimming caps back on, straighten your back. Yeah, straighter. Okay, time to dive back into the second half of the podcast with Doty. When it comes to like music and your love of just music, like, who was the first artist that you really liked?
My dad used to play me Beatles, like sitting on like the bottom of the bunk bed. I was on the top, my brother was on the bottom. He'd like sit and strum on his guitar.
Oh, right. He'd so he was a musician night. As well. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, he'd play guitar, and like he got me, didn't force me, that's not a very good word, but like encouraged me to learn clarinet, which is how I learned like theory and stuff. So he's like very passionate about music. So Beatles, like Pink Floyd, which might have been a bit damaging for my 7-year-old ears. Like,
yeah, it's a bit gnarly.
Yeah, there's that song. Isn't that's like, is careful, it Time or something?
Careful with that axe, Eugene. There's a Pink Floyd track,
oh,
which
God.
Is insane.
Oh,
happy Halloween, everybody. And yeah, but like, Pink Floyd and Beatles is
Beatles.
Proper dad music, but I mean,
Stevie Wonder, ELO, like that was what I was brought up
there
on.
Is worse bands to get into than the Beatles. I mean, like, they kind of are the beginning, middle and end.
Yeah, they're like
pop writing.
Like, they're like many bands. Like, you know, they don't have like a specific sound. They just develop, and yeah, I love them.
What about like the those like artists that you would bleed for, that you would be like, oh my God, I love this artist so much, I can't do without you. Like, like you, I'm sure you like were like crazy fan over a couple of people.
I was that about Demi Lovato, which is very strange.
How long has Demi Lovato been going for?
She actually was on YouTube. She'd post videos with her and her best friend at the time. So I think that kind of like helped my like obsession with her, because I felt like I was getting an insight into her life as well. I didn't know anything about her, but I thought I did. And like she kind of made similar, she was a fan of Paramore and Hayley Williams as well, which I also at the time was obsessing about.
Yeah.
So I just loved her and like her kind of rocky, like poppy style music.
Were you part of like fandoms and things like that?
I guess.
Were you street team? Were you Demi Lovato London street team?
I tried to be. I made a Facebook account once called Demi Rocks My Socks with X's because I wanted to join a live stream, and I was like typing in the, it was the Jonas Brothers chat. And every time you type in it and post in it, it would appear there on your wall. And every like year when it comes around, you know, those Facebook memory things.
Oh God, yeah. I've seen like, a couple of mad ones that have come up.
Like 6 years ago, and it's just me like in the Jonas Brothers chat being like, Demi, I love you. So I was like, I should probably make a fake account.
Isn't it weird like how different you are now to what you were? Like,
oh my God.
What, are you 23
miles
now?
Miles apart, yeah.
23,
yeah.
The difference between 23 and 16 is nothing in terms of your whole life, right? If you think about it, right? Mm-hmm. 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
But holy shit, the person you are at 23 and the person you are at 16, like when you're 23 you're closer to what you will be like at 30. And that's the same gap.
Do you
know?
And I feel that I'm so happy about my age. I'm so comfortable about my age and where I am and who I am. I feel like there's like a giant line in my life. I feel like someone's like drawn a line on the time of my life, because there were a few things that happened around the age of like 17 18 that, like, I mean, it's trauma really, and that kind of like changed me, and I learned so many things from it, and I just feel like a completely different person.
When you think about like you as like a Demi Lovato fan, mm-hmm. back at like when you were 16, mm-hmm. how do you feel about the fans that you've got now? Because like you like legitimately have got an army.
Yeah.
You could start an army tomorrow. Uh-huh. You could be like the next dictator if you wanted to be, because like you've got what, like 1 million followers on Twitter. How many subscribers you got on YouTube?
I don't know.
A lot.
1 million and a bit.
But yeah, you've got a lot. Yeah. So like, how do you feel about those people knowing that you used to do the same thing?
It's so interesting. I think sometimes I can get infuriated because I recognize my younger self in them.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, whoa, there she is. Oh, and then I'm like, I feel so protective. I'm like, oh my God, oh my God. They're all just like younger me's. It's so strange. It's so interesting. Like the other day, a girl tweeted me being like, and I usually don't respond to people asking me for advice because I'm like, I'm not your therapist, like go, like I try and like give out like
sometimes
help.
You have to like go make your own mistakes,
yeah,
don't you?
Exactly. And like talk to your friends, talk to people you know. But she messaged me and she tweeted me being like, I'm like meeting my boyfriend for the first time, I'm so nervous, what do I do?
How are you meeting your boyfriend for the first time?
I guess they like talked online or something. I don't
I'm
know
sold.
I totally I totally get it. Like I remember this first date that I went on, and it was so awkward and embarrassing. It was like one of the most pinnacle moments in my life, and I was like, oh my God, I just want to like gift some like wisdom to like basically teenage me.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm gonna talk to her. So I do, and it's so fun.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I just love them because they're all so passionate and dramatic and creative and just like me.
Can you walk down the street without getting recognized? Because I know when you're on traditional TV, right, you know, like I'm talking not even just old school, I'm talking up until today, if you get broadcast on something fairly commercial, like the Voice or X Factor or something that like is a sort of terrestrial channel 1, 2, 3, 4, blah blah, you can't walk down the street anymore because people be like, oh, that's such and such from TV. But obviously with YouTube now, like, kids do not give a shit about TV. They don't give a shit about who's TV presenters, they don't give a shit about who's on TV.
Uh-huh.
They give a shit about YouTubers.
Uh-huh. I definitely get recognized a lot. Walking down the street is fine. I don't get stopped that much. I might see the odd person on a train or like in a shop. If I like go to Urban Outfitters, I might do a friggin' meet and greet. Like, you know, like
people
just recognize me
of
there.
Of course.
Especially at like Thorpe Park or like Disneyland, it is kind
so
of.
So basically,
like,
you have to go born old like grown up places like the DVLA to like get your car sorted or like nobody
like
will know you're
like
there.
Like
it's like you know a lot of famous people go to like LA where like you know it's absolutely fine. You can walk down the street.
Uh-huh.
Just go to like. Like an accountancy firm
right.
Walk around with
I'm
impunity,
no,
be absolutely fine.
I really don't get recognized that much. And when I do, my God, it's just so lovely. Like, it's so interesting because I think the youngest people are the loudest, like I am was. But like, it's interesting to like go to a coffee shop and then like I call them uni girls. They're like really cool. They wear like, I don't know, like what are they called, like culottes and like hats, and like they wear glasses and they look up from their like laptop or book or whatever, and they're like, Dirty, oh, I love your music. And I'm like, that's you're so cool. Thank you.
Can we be friends?
Yeah, I know. I'm always like, that's definitely happened sometimes. I've been like, let's hang out, let's get tea. And I have.
Yeah. That's what like those meet and greets are all about, isn't it? Like, I know a fella called Bri, who I'm sure you know as well.
Mm-hmm.
And Bri was talking, because like, I'm probably like last generation of like growing up kind of not with YouTubers at all.
Mm-hmm.
And a friend of mine, Jerry, played guitar in Bri's band.
Jerry! Yeah. I love Jerry, he's mad.
We used to play in bands together back in
Ireland.
Yeah, we're very good friends.
Jerry.
And
yeah, I toured with him.
I was talking to Bri about the meet and greets, and he was talking about how
he
would legitimately just go, I'm gonna come to Australia, and he would do it off of going for a meet and greet. So he would basically go and play in a park.
Yeah.
Being able to go straight to fan.
Uh-huh.
And if you've got a CD or like a merchandise or whatever, mm-hmm. you can sell it straight to people.
I used to do a lot more like meet and greets. Like I don't know, I felt principled about it because I was so obsessed with people when I was younger, and I desperately wanted to meet them and touch them and like see that they were real. Because I remember meeting people who I was a fan of, and I'd literally look at their skin and be like, oh my God, you're real, you're human.
Don't touch
me. It was so strange, I know. Whereas now, like, I've met so many people. And after about half an hour of meeting people, I go mad. Like, I just go mad. You just can't. Fair. I wrote a song about it. It's actually my next EP. It's called Burned Out. And it's basically just like, you can't give that much to everyone constantly.
All the time. Yeah.
Like, someone will come up to you and be like, so happy and so excited. And then, like, they're touching you. And I'm like, bro, this is a lot, but I'm trying to give you as much as possible. And you're so happy. Then someone will come up to you and share with you something that happened to them.
That's
and how
really
they
deep.
Listen to your music. Mm. Like, I don't know, their parents have died or something. And it hits you. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm taking that in. I'm taking that on. That's so much. And I might even cry. And then they'll leave and someone else will bound up to me. And I'm just not ready to do, like, to give back again.
Yeah.
It's just so much. It's so much. And it does destroy me.
It's a great feeling that, like, people take that away from your music.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm sure like
it
can be a bit of a roller coaster, can't it? But when we're talking about meet and greets, I just want to sort of point out to some people who might not know, like we're not talking about these meet and greets that people do where they charge you like 250 quid to go stand beside them.
Yeah.
Which are actually like horrible.
That's weird.
Really, really horrible.
I don't want to judge, but
which
I
is the best
strange.
One I saw? The Avril Lavigne meet and greets.
Dear.
Holy shit.
Where they're like a meter apart.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, no.
I think she did meet and greets. Like, I'm not going to say, because I don't know how much she was charging for it, because God knows, and I don't want to get sued. But all I know is that, like, she's standing there and she's got her hands down.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Avril Lavigne, at the best of times, looks like she doesn't want to be there anyway. And she definitely doesn't want to be there. There's somebody standing like right about a meter and a half away.
Whose decision that was? It's not really fair to put her in that. She didn't want to be there.
Like, I don't.
It's just like, who is that
aren't
good
you
for?
Aren't you
is
rich that, enough? Like,
yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to say anything because I don't know the story behind
no,
it. Like,
no,
it might not. It probably wasn't her decision. I don't know. I'm guessing. But although, have you listened to her newest song? It's so bad. I'm so sorry. Oh, I feel really bad. I don't want to bitch about anyone because I'm.
No,
so
no, please do. Like, okay. I spend. Most of my life bitching about music anyway, like
that's fine. I don't know, I'm just like I don't know.
I'm gonna jump into some of the questions that we've got on Twitter. Amelia Ann says, out of all the songs she has written you, which one is the one that you're most attached to emotionally? By the way, this is the first time I've done Twitter questions as well. I've kind of felt you've got a big army, they want to ask questions. I'm gonna be their vehicle.
Well, thank you, Amelia. Oh gosh, attached to, I would say I have a song called When, which is, I think it's on my first EP and on YouTube. And it's about that feeling of, like, asking when is it going to be okay again. Back to the mentally ill, I'm always talking about that. But, yeah, I just remember, like, I was so confused and so lost. I felt really spaced out all the time and I didn't know why. I just couldn't handle it. And I think this was the first piece of proof that I had that you can make something beautiful out of something really painful. So every time I play it, I just feel so sorry for myself. But also really proud of myself that I've like got through it.
Are there misconceptions about you as an artist or a musician because of the route that you've gone down with, like, mm-hmm. with YouTube and stuff, because it's not traditional.
No.
Which I quite like, because I don't think that anything is... You can't be traditional now in the way you approach anything. But, like, do people thumb their noses and go, oh, you're a YouTuber or whatever? Yeah. How dare you?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I the way I look at it is, doesn't matter if you're releasing music on the moon or on floppy disk. Like, it's music at the end of the day.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I got a comment the other day. Well, on someone else's video, I was working on something, and someone commented and said, way to lower your standards by working with Doddy. They spelled my name wrong. And I was like, oh, I forget. And it had like 4 thumbs up. So for some reason, it felt like people were ganging up on me. And I was just like, of course, like outwardly from the public, you're just going to see, like if you don't watch any of my videos, you'll just see a YouTuber, like a ukulele YouTube musician. And it's like, oh, gross. So yeah, I feel like people are quick to judge. And like definitely like industry wise, I think some like, I don't know, industry people are like, well, there's too many numbers. This is suspicious. And she's just an influencer, you know?
Do you know why that is? Because like the music industry has been like toying and tampering with numbers traditionally forever. Like going back to the days of people from music and from record labels driving around the country in their car buying their own stock to get them to number
that's
one.
That's so interesting.
That's happened for record labels for years and years. I'm not saying it's happening now, but I'm sure it's happening in some sort of capacity. So when people say to you, oh, there's too many numbers, you're like, well,
yeah,
this is all legit, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be jealous.
Yeah.
Don't be well jelly.
It's tough to have that kind of like stigma, but I've like battled with it, and sometimes I get really angry about it, and then I'm also like, well, fuck it, like this is how I'm here, I should be proud of it. And like sometimes I want to stray away from talking about it because I want to, you know, because it has this stigma, I want to be like, no, I'm a musician and my music is on Spotify and I should never talk about YouTube. But I'm like, no, I'm proud of it. Like I YouTube is a weird place now, and it is, it will be, and it has been, but I'm still like, there's still pockets of greatness in it.
Why is it weird? What's going on?
Oh my god, there's
please tell me.
People shouting for attention all the time, like fucking clickbait, and like I just feel like people will make a video about it, they'll do shit to themselves to make a video, but like not a good one either.
Yeah
you know,
didn't that guy like cement his head into a microwave?
Oh, for fuck's sake.
I don't
like,
know who that
what
is,
are you doing?
But I saw that
some guy
news.
Bathed in bleach. It's like, what are you making? And it's tough because like I have friends that like do funny shit, but then they'll make something good. It's like almost like a film trailer. It's artistic, it's creative, but if you're not adding anything good into the world, then what is the point? Like, why are you just want attention? Oh my god, I'm fully bitching.
But
it's
fully true, and that's why like people like that's why like I'm coming at this from a completely sort of neutral angle, because I'm very sort of fresh to it, like. But when I saw, I was on my honeymoon, right?
Uh-huh.
And I saw that Jake Paul was fighting KSI, right? I barely knew who each of them were. Of course, I knew who Jake Paul was because of all the controversy and all the rest of it, right? But I saw that these guys were fighting, and I was like, well, why are they fighting, right? And I, like, you know, I was on holiday, so I didn't have much else to do. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I kind of looked up at it. I was like, oh, right, okay. Oh, it's streaming now.
Yeah.
I fucking bought it and watched it.
Everyone did. Everyone did.
But they
here's the thing.
They got bigger numbers than the UFC, who have been going for like over 20 years. That is what they do. Like, you know, every single month. They got humongous, like, humongous numbers. And like, yeah.
If I'm being honest about that topic, like, I do think promoting fighting it out is like fucked up. But I don't know. At least they did something. Like, at least
something. And it was massive.
And it was massive. And they trained for it. Like, that's working hard.
Yeah,
I kind of have to respect that.
Both those guys were ripped.
Even though don't fucking, like, fight it out. Like, I don't know.
But the thing is, if they're walking into a fight and they're, like, going, right, well, I want to fight and you want to fight and everybody's going to... And I'm sure, like, they benefited fairly well financially from it as well.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, probably.
Could have done it for charity. Or, I don't know, I think my pretentious head is like, why didn't you make something beautiful, like some art? But if this is what they made, then at least you made something.
Yeah, but, like, that was the first minute where I was just like, I was trying to explain it, and I was having trouble explaining it. I was like, going, these guys just decided to do this on a whim, but they've put full production into it, and they're doing it better than the guys who've been doing it for forever.
Cool. Yeah.
I was like,
oh, the world is so weird, what's happening?
There's probably some guy who promotes fights for a living, right, who just like has his head in his hands going, I've tried my whole
fuck
life
everything
to get these numbers.
Yeah, I know.
And these two guys who don't really normally fight got there. Yeah, well, that I don't know, like, I don't know why we got onto that sort of topic, but like,
I think it's funny when like people who are already like mainstreamy successful like, then, like, I guess someone's recommended that they try doing YouTube videos. So they try and, like, kind of, not manipulate, but, like, force this authentic way of talking. Like, oh, my God, this is so mean. Oh, my God, I'm such a bitch. But, like, who are the two stars from High School Musical? They're, like, basically...
I definitely don't know that answer.
Okay, so there's, like, this whole set with, like, a sofa and, like, a whole team. And they're, like, sitting next to each other and duetting, like, this song from High School Musical. And it's, like, it's dressed to look like a bedroom. It's, like, meant to... It's, like, so weirdly...
It's not a bedroom,
manufactured to look like a chill hangout. And it's, like, you're not... I don't know. It's so weird how, like, authentic is becoming trendy. But you can't manufacture
it. Is there a lot of that? Is there a lot of... cynical people trying to use YouTube for their own means, because you can't have you can't have a booming industry like YouTube. I mean, like, they take over the Excel Center every year and there's like tens of thousands of people coming to it, and there's that summertime
summer in the city
like, it's and the numbers don't lie, it's obviously huge. That's the point where, like, the big evil hand of corporation comes in and starts going, I'm going to make this work for us now.
Yeah, it can get scary. But I don't know, I think you just have to ignore all of that and, like, boil it down to, I mean, like, think of where it started. People in their bedrooms just talking to cameras, and that's, you know, take away all of the scary shit, and I think it can be a wholesome thing still.
I quite like the idea of it, like, initially, like, years ago when it really started booming, because I was talking to a friend of mine and I was like, see the kids that are doing that now, they're the kids that were a couple of years below us in school that would have been bullied, or that would have, like, had, there might have been like four or five of them, like, in the year, and they might have all liked the same sort of things, and they might have been, like, alternative and dressed in an alternative way. But I come from a very sort of country background, everybody plays football, and it's all sort of very sort of like, that school was very jockey, so if you were into anything relatively nerdy, you were kind of outcast. And I was like, this is incredible. The nerds are taking over.
Yeah,
and
it was great.
It's
was
a beautiful thing to see.
Yeah.
Your music now, your track Human, I've been playing a lot, and
I really like it.
Yeah,
oh, thank you.
It's brilliant. And
you said some really nice things on the radio. I was like, oh, I was lying. That's so nice.
It was all lies. but, like, you're approaching music differently, not the way you write it differently now, but, like, it feels like you're moving into, like, a whole new sphere. It feels like version 2.0 or 3.0 now.
I hope so. Yeah, I think so.
And what way are you thinking about it now? Are you, like, going, right, okay, right, are you going to go down the traditional route and go, let's do an album, let's release big singles?
So hard.
I mean, your EPs have already charted in the top 40. Like, there's, like, what's the next sort of bar or level?
I think that different sound is coming from, I mean, I guess growing and, like, being inspired more, but also, like, working with different producers. And I've been struggling a lot, like, recently, and also just the past few years, of, like, am I writing commercially? Like, am I writing, like, structured, easy, hooky songs, like, even pop songs? Or do I want to write, like, my kind of wishy-washy, sad, so sad, like, songs that, like, are poetic and meaningful to me? And, like, I've been troubling with that so much. I'm like, what am I doing? Like, what do I want? And then it kind of clicked for me, like, a few months ago, maybe even a year ago. I was like, oh, I'll do both. Like, what?
Yeah.
What? Like, why am I picking? I like doing both. And also, there's a middle ground in between them as well, which I have been trying to do. I think Human is the middle ground.
You've done a lot of collaborations, so, with, like, some cool people. Tessa Violet, Julia Nunes, Lauren Aquilina, played her before, and John Cozart. Are you going to continue the sort of collab thing? Are you going to do more, like, releases? Are you going to do, like, proper sort of EP releases, album releases? Are you going to have people on your record? And at what point do we start getting the hip-hop features? Everybody's got a hip-hop feature these days, like...
Probably not that. I don't know. Maybe. We'll see. We'll see how my music tastes...
develop.
Yeah. Get changes. That was the word I was looking for. Yeah, I love collaborating with people. I think most of those people are, like... I don't know. I was going to say YouTube, but they're not. Are they? No, they expand. No, they definitely drop out of that. Yeah, anyway, I think making music with friends is, like, the most rewarding thing. It's so cool.
It it looks it in the videos that you get, because they're quite recent videos that you've put up. And it seems like you've got like a really strong squad of people around you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I'm so lucky to be surrounded by creative people. Even like, I don't know, like, and it's weird when industry people and like, I don't know, and even you are putting the pressure on yourself to do writing sessions. But every writing session I've had has been not great. I don't know. It's just so weird to like force something in a day. It just doesn't work for me. I find the best way to write is maybe to write by yourself and then to bring it to the other people, like other creative people who you respect and like hear their suggestions. Because, I mean, then you make something amazing.
I work with young artists on my record label, and one of the artists I suggest, because I never really get them to go and do writing sessions. Normally the artists that we work with are good enough by themselves. I don't really believe in writing sessions, really, to be honest. But like
they can be great.
They can be great. But like we were just like deciding to try something new, and the person went in, and 2 hours later I phoned up. Was like going, how was that? Or 3 hours, whatever it was. And he was just said to me, was like, I didn't know I was going in for a fucking psychiatry fucking thing. And I was like, what? Oh. What? What do you mean? They're like, we just spoke about who I am for 2-3 hours.
That's like, how it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like, right, that's okay. We'll never do that again.
It is weird. It's weird.
Right, let's jump back into these Twitter questions. Mm-hmm. Woolly Ace. That would be a sheep. says, if you could collab with anyone in the world, dead or alive, who would it be?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I'd love to work with... This isn't a very interesting answer. Well, I mean, it might be. I'd love to work with, like, an orchestra and, like... Or, like, a choir or something. And, like...
It sounds like you're writing your musical right now.
I know. One day. Honestly, definitely. But, yeah, I'd love to work with them. But I guess, okay, more like a person... Oh, I had a great answer to this the other day and then I've forgotten it. I don't know. Oh, gosh. Help. I don't know.
Kurt Cobain.
Like, I mean, obviously the Beatles. Tell you what, writing sessions with the Beatles would be awesome.
Done.
Oh, Freddie Mercury. That'd be freaking awesome.
That would be class.
Oh, so cool.
I wouldn't be able to handle the party afterwards, but I wouldn't mind going and watching them play piano.
Yeah.
Violet the Witch. On Twitter says, what do you think you'd be doing or where do you think you'd be in life if music hadn't have worked out?
Probably, well, the life I always thought I was going to live was go to uni and probably become a teacher because I couldn't even fathom never going to school again. And also, I'd like to be a cool drama teacher who can like relate to all the kids and like still be cool. Yeah,
yeah, wear like long flowing gowns.
Yes, like I would absolutely channel
oversized spectacles. Yes, you'd always smell of coffee as well.
Yes, and I'd have a scarf.
Yeah,
I'd have a scarf. Like I'd flip it around and be like, "All right."
Okay, darlings.
Yeah.
In position.
I know.
And a 3, 2, 1.
And then I'd cast myself as the role because, yeah.
Moonchild says, what is the best and worst thing about touring?
Oh, this is so great. Best thing is, I'll name a few. Best things are constantly being surrounded by people. I am such an extrovert in the fact that I need like people's energy around me all the time, like waking up and being with friends and then like going for breakfast with friends, sashing with friends, playing, working with friends is like amazing. It's just like, oh, it's just the best way to exist ever.
Is the worst thing friends as well?
No. Well, I guess worst thing is basically like camping for like a month.
Yeah,
and like,
yeah,
obviously I'm like way more privileged than that because I get like, you know, I will get a shower eventually. Mm-hmm. But like, you're like, you wake up on a bus and it's either freezing or boiling. You're very sweaty. Everyone smells like sweat and like deodorant and like piss because of the fucking toilet is broken or whatever. And then like your shower is like you baby wipe your face and your armpits, deodorant, dry shampoo, brush your teeth in a sink.
That sounds horrible to
me. It's fucking shit. And like you're like in the middle of the night when the bus is rocking, you're trying to sleep. You're like, I need to pee. Do I go? Yes, just go. And you like stumble through the bunks and like open the door and it's like this tiny bathroom and you're like trying to pee and not get pee on your leg because the bus is moving. It's the worst. It's the worst. Oh God, that was so loud. Sorry.
Becca Robertson says, what's your biggest struggle with being a young woman and being in the music industry?
Oh my God.
Good question. And we could probably do a full hour.
God, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you could do a full hour, like, not me.
I think there is this kind of, I don't want to blame anyone or name any names, but I think sometimes when I put my foot down because I know what I like, it can come across as me being, like, a struppy girl. And that's hard. Do you know what I mean?
But that, surely that's coming across as confident. I think there's certain words around that that have really awful connotations,
mm-hmm.
that only get used when describing women,
mm-hmm.
like,
yeah.
Stroppy or bossy,
bitch, like upset, yeah. or like, yeah, I don't know, patronized.
I think that those words don't have any place in modern lexicon when it's, mm-hmm. when it comes to, like, describing. I did my dissertation on the representation of women in the music media,
mm-hmm.
so I like boiled down the semantics and the adjectives used to describe women. And this was like about 10 years ago. And yeah, it was like equally as bad as, yeah. you would imagine it to be.
Yeah.
And it's amazing to think that there are those words that only go with certain sexes.
The thing is, I don't even know if anyone's really called that. I do get that sense. Maybe that's just me projecting. But I definitely think that it would be a lot easier to, like, navigate and, like, get what I need and what I want if I were a man. And I'd be listened to more.
The thing is, without you, nobody else would be in that room. Because that's your music. Do you know what
sometimes
I mean?
Sometimes it doesn't feel that way.
Yeah, but, like, you just have to remind yourself, yeah. that sometimes.
I wish I could remind everyone else that.
Yeah. Well, you should as well. Because, like, if they're... I mean, I'm going to say it. And it's going to be pretty, like... Oh. It's not going to go down too well. But essentially, they all work for you.
Damn right!
It doesn't matter if it's... whatever person that's working with you, whether it's a studio or whatever, if they're getting paid,
mm-hmm.
off your dollar, they work for you.
And, I do try and remind myself of that. Obviously, I don't
want to,
you know.
No, it's a bit of a...
Yeah, I would never actually say
you
that.
You can't
or,
think like that all yeah. the time, but, like, there is a certain level of going, you know...
But when I'm being pushed back on, it's helpful to, like, have that in my head and be like, no, I can put my foot down.
Yeah. I was raised by, like, three very strong... women.
Oh, yeah.
In my life.
Awesome.
So I'm very sort of like, right.
Women!
Yeah, exactly. Like, if I had referred to my mom, auntie, or sister as being bossy or anything like, or stroppy, I would have got my head kicked in.
Yeah.
Right, what else have we got here? Actually, here's a word that hasn't come up yet, which is, Emily has brought it up. How do you deal with the stress of being an influencer on platforms like Instagram and Twitter, and does the possibility of a scandal from posting the wrong things scare you?
Oh, absolutely. It's terrifying. I think everyone on social media is so angry nowadays.
Oh my God, Twitter is...
So angry.
If Twitter was about, like, if Twitter was a time and place, it would have been, like, about... 500 or 600 years
yeah.
ago, and people would
yeah.
be, like, lighting their torches,
yeah.
and we walk into your house
shouting.
Screaming.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's terrifying. I'm so scared because I'm not perfect. I've done shit, and, like, I don't know. I think I just have to keep on promoting the idea that I am human. Like, that's why I, you know,
name a single.
Stream it on everywhere. But yeah, like, I fuck up. I mess up. I. Like, no one is perfect. Like, absolutely no one is perfect. Like, think of the most angelic, perfect person you could think of. They definitely have done shit in their life. I can't think of an example right now. Because no one is perfect. But yeah, I just have to keep promoting that. So, and then kind of sticking to my principles in terms of boundaries and what I'm sharing, mm-hmm. etc. And just, yeah, I don't know. It's hard. It's annoying that I had to, like, live through that so publicly, like, being, like, in my early 20s, being depressed and everyone shouting
yeah, yeah.
at me, being like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I don't know, I'm mentally ill. And then, like, looking back on it from 23, I'm like, that's so unfair that people berated me for that. But
I'd love somebody just to, like, do all my Twitter and Instagram and all the rest for me. I find it mad stressful sometimes.
Really?
I'm like, oh God, I've got to post something up, but I don't want to.
Uh-huh. I think it comes.
Follow me at Philly Taggart on Twitter and Instagram for belligerent posting.
Yeah, I know. No one's going to want to follow you now.
No, you have to follow me because then I'll be able to get somebody else on to. No, of course
I love
not.
This podcast is great.
That's it. Like, that's, there's lots more questions, but honestly, we'd be here. Like, it's really warm in this room that we're in at the minute.
I have to pee so bad. I've just been, like,
you've got your legs
water.
Crossed and you're like, oh God, I gotta go.
Yes.
So yeah, there's loads more questions. I'm sorry, we can get to them all. Mm-hmm. And the final question that I will ask you is, what advice would you give to somebody who's starting out in music or in the music industry right now and wants to like be a super cool artist? Don't do it.
No. let me rephrase that. Listen to yourself.
Mm.
And if you have a gut, go with your gut. Definitely like be open to other people's advice. But if you have a gut feeling, go with it and push back.
Thank you very much to Dodie. Thank you very much to her manager, Josh, for making that podcast happen. It was very fun and a very honest podcast to record. Thank you very much to Chris, the sound engineer, and to Jenny, the producer, and Adam, and Barney, and everybody involved. Big up to Dodie's fans who are listening, and to everybody who has been here since the start as well. If you are fresh to this, then go follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Philly Taggart. And next week we have Hosier on the podcast. That record was amazing. He's such a really intuitively incredible dude. Such a good talker. We spoke about civil rights. We spoke about the housing crisis in Ireland, early blues music, how he watched Hard-Fi at Oxford. Yeah, really. And loads more. I hope you all have a great week. See you next Wednesday. Much love. Bye-bye. See you later, slackers.